We have a speaker that is a former graduate of Revival Center Training Institute. This speaker is a tremendous person of God. They have a tremendous love for God that I've been blessed to see up close and personal. And I love my wife. My wife is the best woman that I know. I'm insincere. I don't always have words to express the value of my wife because I just don't possess the words to express her value. And what everybody else said is 100% true, but I want to say this as well. My wife is a student of the word. My wife is obviously a worshiper of God. But probably more than anything, my wife has a sincere touch from God to minister to people. And before singing and everything else, my wife just worked at a juvenile facility where she ministered to kids. And after she left there, probably the next 20 years, we were still getting phone calls from kids who she ministered to when she was there. So that's what kind of person she is. And so I'm going to turn this mic over to my wife, Pastor Tammy, for today's message. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You guys, I have to do this as Tammy. I have to be who God created me to be. And I want to be that example for you so that you'll know you too have a message. You too have a word. And so when we get out of what we've seen everywhere else and the way everyone else does it, and you let God minister through you, you will understand your purpose. So Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, we lift our hearts just to honor you. So Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Yes. There's a part in this song and it says, though sometimes I feel like throwing in the towel, but I won't give in, no. So Lord, we offer our sacrifice of praise. So with lifted hands, we honor you and we offer our sacrifice of praise. Woo! Thank you, guys. Thank you, musicians. Lord, I thank you, first of all, for this opportunity to come before you to minister the word. I thank you, Lord, and I ask that you will use me to bring love and deliverance, and that will use me as an oracle for you to speak your words, to bring enlightenment and joy and peace, deliverance, encouragement. I thank you that we're all wonderfully made. May people see the value in you giving me an opportunity to know that what they do is not in vain, that all the spoken words and all the years of ministry you've taught them, that they will be free to open their mouths and offer the sacrifice, not judging what you've told them to say, but being and living the life you set before others as an example unto you. In Jesus' name. Okay, first of all, it's easier for me to love and be in charge because then I don't have to be emotional and cry. Oh, well. So, hallelujah. You guys, I love you. I did not tell my daughters. I don't tell nobody I'm going to do anything. Pastor Derry knows that this is a message. This is something that has been prophesied over my life and something I was supposed to do before all of this ministry right here started at ALWC. But I will tell you what. The title of the message today is Getting to Joyful. It's along the themes of Pastor Derry's message, which is joy, choose joy, and getting to joyful. So when do you finally get joy? You already have it. What God shared with me was to explain to people the process of getting to joyful. You're going to go through greater depths and heights and highs and lows, peaks and valleys, but you are who God created you to be. And every experience you have, everything that you have gone through, good, bad, terrible, broken dreams, hopes, promises, everything, who your mother was, who your father was, the job you got fired from, the job you accidentally got, everything, every victory, every triumph, God knows about it, and he created it. And what he wants us to know is that there's no time that we're ever hopeless or lost, and that he has a plan for us. And so my life is unique and different than your life. Pastor Derry's life is unique and different. You get to hear, and I'll use him as an example, but, you know, we can think about any pastor we've grown up listening to, our pastors where we got saved. We can think about all the things that we've watched and experienced, and we go, well, I could never get up and do that. Well, they had that story. You've got stories, but are you afraid to tell them? Have you accepted the fact that God's will for your life is what you're living today? This is your one life here on this earth, in this shell. In this earth suit, you are living your life. I used to think I was going to literally, I believed with such faith that I was going to live forever and everything is always going to come my way and everything is going to go right because God loves me and his word said, and then the devil tries to make you feel disillusioned. But I always had this thought that there's something unique about me. I always felt like I was called and that I was special. To you who feel like you're different or unique, God gave you that thought. You don't fit in because you're not supposed to fit in. You're supposed to stand out. The sooner you accept the fact that you walk into a room and it's always me, I stand out. Why'd they call on me? I didn't even raise my hand. Why do I always have something to say? I'm not going to say. It's because God created you that way. He has made you special. He has called you. He has chosen you before you were formed in your mother's womb. The sooner you accept that and start walking in that, the sooner you can be who God created you to be and start choosing joy and realize that you are blessed and that every process you're getting to joyful. So I say that to say, years ago when I was very young, this is how I was, literally. I was in my room. I couldn't have been, I must have been in the second grade because before we moved from this house. And I would look at the vent and I would think something like it could be looking me. In my mind, I thought, you know what? I'm a kid. I don't know how old are you in the second grade, teachers? How old are you? What, seven? I'm thinking somebody could be filming my life. Years later, I go, I had the first idea for reality television. I used to tell my family, why did you guys bring me to this house with these three brothers? I'm the oldest girl, working so hard. Why?
Why did you take me? What, did the gypsy sell me to you? I must belong to this family that sits in a castle and looks on high. And you got me here. And I always strived because I was different. I had unique ideas, unique thoughts. I literally realized I got something from God, that he speaks to me even when I was young. And now I'm not afraid as I battle, do I say it, don't I say it? Because now I know what I say, I'm sacrificing. The sacrifice may or may not be accepted by others, but it's what God told me to do. And I've seen fruit from it. And I want to encourage you in your uniqueness to stand on this day forward in the presence and the spirit he's called you to be. No more living like you just walked into the cafeteria in the seventh grade and you don't have any friends. You are the friend. You are the one desired to be sat with. You are the one that is called. So I want to read some scriptures. If I'm going to start with Galatians, you can turn if you want to. I'm going to read it from a version. You guys have heard the King James and New King James. I'm going to do it the way that I read it. I love to read multiple translations because, you know what? Nobody's talking about ye and thou art. So I want you to understand it. And so I'm going to read it in the True Praise translation. You can read it in the NIV or the King James. But I'm going to read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And so it says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. And Rodney was trying to preach as he does, man of God, because he said, did you notice the order at Bible study? And I was like, shh, Rodney, shh, shh. They're going to think I'm coming off of you. But and so first you need love. And we know that here at LWC. We know we are love one another above all else. But after love, what is next? You mean you want me to have joy, not happiness? You want me to have joy? Choose joy. Getting to joyful, even when you don't feel it. So that, just meditate on that. Now I'm going to go to John 5, 1 through 15. And so I'll read it as swiftly as I can. But then Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate, there's a pool called Aramaic, the house of loving kindness. And this pool is surrounded by five covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were lying there on the porches. The paralyzed, the blind, the crippled, all of them waiting for their healing. For an angel of God would periodically descend into the pool to stir the waters. And the first one who stepped into the pool after the water stirred would instantly be healed. Now there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years, lying along the multitude of sick. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that that man had been crippled for a long time. So Jesus said to him, "Do you truly long to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, there's no way I can get healed, for I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me." That sounds like waiting in line to get something favorable, and we don't put the other person, give them the honor of going first. That's okay, because God's got us. Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up." He said, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk." Immediately he stood up. He was healed. Did anybody notice anything? Did he jump in the water to get healed? He followed the command. We're thinking he got in the pool. Jesus is all you need. Immediately he stood up and was healed. So he rolled up his mat and walked away. Now this miracle took place at the Jewish Sabbath. When the Jewish leaders saw the man walking along carrying his sleeping mat, they objected and said, "What are you doing carrying that? Don't you know it's the Sabbath? It's not lawful for you to carry things on the Sabbath." He answered them and said, "The man who healed me told me to pick it up and walk." "What man?" they asked him. "Who was this man who ordered you to carry something on the Sabbath?" But the healed man couldn't give them an answer, for he didn't yet know who it was, since Jesus had already slipped away in the crowd. Sometimes you're waiting for something and it won't come the way you think it's going to come. And then you don't realize what you have and you just go about your way. You didn't realize you were getting to joyful in the process. It just didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. Anybody been in that place? Okay. Getting to joyful, remember. So a short time later, Jesus found the man at the temple and said to him, "Look at you now. You're healed. Walk away from your sins so that nothing worse will happen to you." Then the man went to the Jewish leaders to inform them, "It was Jesus who healed me." So from that day forward, the Jewish leaders began to persecute Jesus because of the things he did on the Sabbath. So when Jesus healed the man, he didn't look for accolades. There was no big fanfare, just went about his business. There was no thank you. There was no gratitude from the man. And then he actually turned on Jesus, knowing that they wanted to kill him for saying later he was like God and how dare he heal on the Sabbath. So I say this to you. Sometimes in your getting to joyful, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to have an opportunity immediately to do something opposite of the goodness you just received. You're going to immediately have an opportunity to be grateful, move forward, celebrate, go off rejoicing, or you can get with the person asking you who you think you are. You walking? Oh, you walking now? Oh, you blessed now? You got a new car, you got a new house, you got a new husband, you got a new life. You love the Lord. You say you healed? Who did this for you? We can talk about the goodness of what God has done, or we can just go on about our way. We're getting to joyful, y'all. And joyful will not be robbed from us. So the last thing I'm going to have read, it's in John 15. And I won't be, as Pastor Darius says, don't hold me to that. I won't be before you long. But I just need to lay this foundation and then we will go forward. So it's John 15 and 1 through 11. And it says, "I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for branches connected to me by lifting and propping them up. The fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remained in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life immediately, intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine. I am the sprouting vine. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in me, you in union with me, If my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. 11 says, my purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. And my last is John 15. I'm going to go John 15. I'm just going to read up to 17. So you show that you, let's see, 15, wait, sorry. I'm going to read John 15, 9 through 17, just one more time in its context. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and powered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command. Love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you, for the greatest love of all is the love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for friends. You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. I have never called you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servant. And servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. I say all this to say, God's word is so clear. He's given each of us commands. How you hear it, how he heals someone else, like the man who thought all those years somebody's got to carry him to it. And then all he had to do was follow command and rise up and be healed. What is God telling you? You are waiting on to accept the joy and the gladness of the Lord. Is there anything in your life that you thought, if I could just have this, if I could just do this, if this hadn't happened, is there anything that's stopping you from receiving the fact that you have already been commanded to be fruitful? You've already been commanded to have joy. He said that your joy might be full. It also says may be full. It says will be full in different translations. I looked it up. Do you know that happiness is mentioned in the Bible about 30 times, depending on which translation you use? Joy is mentioned in the Bible over 300 times. He wants our joy to be full, joy to overflow. So I want to read to you, what is joy? There's a slide, and so it says, what is joy? And this is what Pastor Derry had given us before. It says, the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure, elation. A source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. Something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. That's how God feels about you. You are greatly valued. You're greatly appreciated. I'll tell you something about myself. I was born to a mom. I was the oldest. My mother, I was born in Alabama in a country town that I will not even pronounce. Well, you haven't heard it, but I'll say it. It's called Bruton. That's how they said it, but I say Bruton. And my mother, when she had me, my mother left me with my great aunt. Should I have issues around that? When I say it, you go, your mom left to come to California and left you in Bruton with some older relatives to raise you. Best thing that ever happened to me. So it ends up, my mom came out here to make a better life, and by the time I came out here, I had another brother. But it was okay, because where I was, I didn't even want to leave, because I was that child. God knows what he's doing. Let me tell you about the spirit of rejection. I am the daughter of a man that I did not meet until I was 30-something, 40? 27, 28, with my own child. I never met my father. I heard about him. My mother would ride me when she would come out there, or my relatives, because we had moved to Florida. And so when we would go back to Alabama, we would ride past these houses. And, you know, in the South, everybody wanted a brick house. So there was this big brick house. And they would go, I don't know why, it sounds pretty cruel, but I'm trying to get you to understand how the enemy tries to set you up from the beginning. We would ride in front of that house. We're not going in. They just would point to me and go, that's where your father lives. He lives there and he has two other daughters. He never even gave you a can of milk. Don't forget, I wasn't with my mother. I was raised by my great aunt. So I don't have a mother or a father. I just have the shadow, right? So when adults are telling you things or other people are telling you things, how do you perceive that? But don't forget, the lady I was left with, all that I can remember, the main thing is she prayed faithfully. Of her three sisters, she was the one who I know loved the Lord, who prayed over me. So I'm getting prayer. I'm where I'm supposed to be. So it ends up, I have another sister born the exact same day as myself, March 8th. We're 1 year apart. But let me tell you about God. We had the same, eventually, they took, and we actually knocked on the door at this house, and Derry was with us, and we had our child, and they're like, you know, it's like this big thing, go see your father. We're gonna take you to see your father. You know, we didn't call. There was no texting. We didn't do any. We just was going to show up. So we go, and we find out where he's at, and we go to this big brick house where everything is perfect inside, right? Yeah. Knock on the door, and this man comes out. And it's my father, who I've never seen face to face, who I've heard all the negative things about. And my father is looking. He doesn't even know which person in the car I am. Wow. Did I have an opportunity to not be joyful? To say, I don't want this? But I was okay. I wasn't sad because I knew that God loved me and that God had me and that God had protected me. And years later, because now I have two sisters. My sister who's born on March 8th, a year to the date of the time I was born. We had the same major in college. My other sister, we played the same instrument. We both worked in multimedia. We both did the same thing. Love the Lord. I get to pray for my sisters all the time. I get to pray for them. I get to speak life over them. I get to prophesy to them. So what God took with that situation that could have made me feel motherless and fatherless and forsaken, he gave me joy in that God showed me this. What I thought I lost, God gave me gain. He picked me up and put me where he wanted me to be. Because from my sister, I learned about a home full of hurt and pain and alcoholism. I see as products, because we're 1 year apart in age, I see what happened in the lack of fruitfulness. So I tell you, don't look at what could have been. Choose joy today. Get into your joyfulness and thank God. Stop reminiscing about the past. Remember the man at the pool? He didn't go back to try to find out who Jesus was to say thank you. He went to find out, hey, you know Jesus? Hey, Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that I'm whole. Thank you for, you know, he didn't even say thank you. You heal me. And he got the name. And he used that as a weapon. And that's the same way the devil will try to use your past or your good experience as a weapon against you. So I'm telling you, it's a choice we have to make. It's a daily choice. So there are things you don't know about me that when I'm up here, I can tell you story after story after story about what God has done for me. But I tell you, from my beginning, the devil tried to give me depression. He tried to make me feel forsaken. He tried to make me feel forgotten. He tried to make me feel like my life was not worth it, that everybody had a better life than me. Everybody was going to be more successful than me. My imagination ran rampant about what was going on inside that brick house. When I was living in apartments, when I, as the oldest girl, was taking care of my brothers. But God, my family is blessed as a result of me being faithful to God. God has always told me secrets and mysteries. So, you know what? Everybody who's adopted, hallelujah! God knows what's best for you. Everybody whose mother was not there to take care of them or unable to show you the love you thought you deserved. Hallelujah. God loves you. He said, I will be a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. He said, I will cover you. I will bind up every wound that you have. So anybody living in that, choose joy. Get into your joyfulness. But getting into my joyfulness is the process I share with you. And I don't have time to tell every story, but it's been instance after instance of things that try to discourage me. So when Pastor Derry and I get up here and we celebrate the multitude of mothers, I want you to understand the depth with which we're saying it. I want you to understand, and if you have a mother, no matter what, someone came to my house Friday. I had a million things to do. But their mother is a crackhead. And their father abandoned them. So she couldn't live with her mother or her father. So she's been on her own since she was 16. And this person came to my house, and I took the time, I had to get them to joyful. Because she's preparing to go back and tell her father how she really feels. My father never knew how I really felt. My mother never really knew how I really felt. Not because I didn't want to tell them, but because it would have been more damage, because their hearts were not in a place to receive it. Getting to joyful means releasing. It means sometimes binding up. It means a life of prayer. And it means a life of pouring into others what hasn't been poured into you. When I want something to grow, I don't plant the opposite of what I want to grow. I got lots of flowers in my yard. I said last night to my family, do you guys smell that? I said, do you guys smell those flowers? And they're like, no, because they didn't plant them. I needed them. I don't even think they went and looked at how beautiful it looks back there. My time, my cultivating, my seeds being planted and the fruition. But it was for me. So my getting to joyful was me sometimes in my backyard in tears. Planting, pruning, cutting. I've talked to several people and they go, are you in the yard? Because I got shears. I tell you, get into joyful is a process, and God's got you. So I'm going to end with these things. John 16 and 24, I don't know if it's in there or not. I'm just going to read you some translations. For John 16 and 24, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy, it says, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I looked up other versions, and it said that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Because remember, I don't gotta go to church on Sunday. I don't gotta go to my job. I don't gotta babysit. I don't gotta go to work. I get to go to church. Thank you, Jesus. I get to babysit. I get to spend time with my daughters. I get to serve my husband. I get to serve the Lord. I get to joyful. It's a process. And we do it. Do it until it feels good to you. Do it until you see what God promised you. Don't lay by the pool and wait on somebody to put you in. Follow the command he's already given you. Who gonna wait? Nobody's gonna wait. God said, rise up and get your joyfulness. Don't sit there waiting on nobody to do nothing for you. You do it. You've got a relationship with the Heavenly Father. It says, I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy may be full and complete and overflowing. That's the True Praise translation. The New Living translation says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Mm. Anybody ever had their joy overflow? Anybody been able to say enough? He said, I will pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Have you even ever experienced it? Have you ever experienced being blessed beyond your imagination? If you have not, I ask you to seek his face. Ask God, show me, Lord, pour me out a blessing, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. If it's coming in here on Sunday mornings, getting built up in the word, I'll do it. If it's having joy when I go to work, I'll do it. If it's saying nice things over my spouse, even when I don't feel it, I'll do it. If it's honey-do list, I'll do it. If it's spending time with my children and I don't want to, I'll do it. If it means going where I don't want to go, if it means feeding people, clothing people, because it could have been me, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. For some of us, we've done these things and they've become natural. We feel full, but when you think you're full, God has so much more for you. I thought I was full. I thought I was complete. I thought I had more than enough. And God said, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. See, if he's opening up the window of heaven, and I think I'm full with all this carnality, with all these things that this world provides, with all these things that Pastor Derry can provide for me, with all these things I can get for myself, wait a minute. You said you open up the windows of heaven. You mean you've got heavenly blessings for me. You've got heavenly overflow for me. I want the heavenly overflow. I want the overflow that I know I didn't have nothing to do about it. I want the overflow that God can give. Man can't give it to me. I want the overflow that gives me peace. Peace that passes all understanding. I want the overflow that gives me joy. Joy. So hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! So, in my closing, hallelujah. Matthew 26 and 39. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. From me, nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. So I wanted a daddy and a mommy in my life like I saw other people have. Or, you know, I wanted that job. I want this. I want that. But, Lord, I trust you. And I'm not going to be the spoiled child that pouts. I'm not going to sit and hold out and act like I don't want it. Actually, I'm going to keep knocking until I get it. So I believe we can ask the Father anything because that's his word. So as the book of Hebrew expands, Christ experienced the temptations we do as human beings, yet he was without sin. So Lord, everything that's happened in our lives that's tried to distort our vision of even what real joy is and peace. Lord, right now, we lay it before you and we seek your perfect will for our lives. Lord, I pray for everyone here today that your joy, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts. We'll keep our hearts and minds in you. Sometimes we don't even understand the situations We think you're withholding, but actually you're delivering. We think we're missing out, but you have better for us. So, Lord, show us what your will is for our life. And we pray that your will be done. And, Lord, when you tell us to sit and be still, we'll be still. But many of us, you're calling us and you're telling us to move. The water is troubled. There's things that are being exposed when the water and the tide goes back that we're supposed to reach in and grab at that moment. There are things that you want to bless us with, but we've got to get close enough to see it. So, Lord, just as water is transparent and the tide goes in and out, show us what you have for us. Lord, bless us to seek your will and your way. I ask that you will bring peace and everlasting joy and understanding to us, Lord, because we love you. Lord, help us to see how to get to joyful, not to be discouraged, but to know it's a process. So every marriage, I speak joy over it. I speak a process of getting to joyfulness, of taking on and putting off and receiving, God, your call for them. Every relationship, mother, father, daughters, sisters, brothers, families, I bind up every spirit of discord and brokenness. Let us be the catalyst to bring forth joy. Let us understand, if no one else does, that there's a process in getting to joyful. And you said, don't get weary in your well-doing, but we seek your face and we seek you for answers and we know that you will provide. So Lord, right now, every heart that desires to know you at a different level, I ask that you will touch that heart and that you will give them a heart of flesh. Soften it, that you can heal it, that you can cultivate it, that you can bring about your love and your joy and the rest of the fruit, that we can experience the fullness of life. So thank you for healing. Thank you for peace. Thank you for joy. And thank you for love. Hallelujah. So at this time, we will open up the altar if there's anyone that needs prayer for anything. For anything. Because it was much prayer that got me to a place where I could praise. So through the hurt and through the pain and all the attacks and things that tried to break me, but God. So if you need healing over your mind, spirit, or body, the Spirit is here today. If you need salvation or restoration, someone just to encourage you, it's here today. If you have family members that you just want to know, how can I minister to them? Can you pray with me about this situation? It's here. And if you're here today and you don't have a church home, we would love to have you as a part of our ALWC family. So if you're watching today and you would like to reach out, please do. We're here to pray with you, to intercede with you, to bless you. We want to speak well of one another. So, Lord, thank you for showing us how to get to joyful. So that's all that I have. The altar is open. We let you know that we love you and we thank God for you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Get to joyful, y'all. Your story gets better when you can see all the redemptive things God's been doing in your pathway there. Amen. Amen. You're going to hear more about Get to Joyful, because we need that. We need to understand that pathway. And God desires to bring us, and tragedies in your life.